Well, welcome this morning, those who are at home on the live stream and those gathered here for 9:30 service. Yeah, so 9:15 service, that too. It's pretty bad when the guy who gets paid to be here can't keep up, but tis the season. I mean, it's interesting days, and I bring all that up because we brought kids back this week at one level, and so we're excited about that, and we're prayerful for Aaron Carlson's team, and so great to see you this morning, whether you're at home or here, and good to have you as we jump back into the book of James. I have a ditch behind my house. I don't know what's behind your house, but there's a ditch behind my house, and a lot of interesting things in my ditch, growing and living. And several weeks ago, Ronell Wallace, so many of you know Pastor Todd, and many of you know Ronell, Pastor Todd's wife, she was at our house, and I wasn't there, and JoLynn and her were talking, and Ronell made the comment that, hey, by the way, did you guys know that in your ditch, wild parsnip is growing? And some of you know what that means. Some of you have no idea what that means. So I came home, and JoLynn said, hey, Ronell told me that wild parsnip is growing in our ditch, and that's, we need to be careful. Well, I mean, I'm not a horticulturalist, but I know a lot about plants. And so I was like, I've never heard of anything like wild parsnip. I don't think it really matters. And so JoLynn said, well, whatever, I'm just telling you, she knows more than you, and be careful. A couple weeks later, I had an email from the DNR related to something, and on that email at the bottom in big letters, it says, watch out for wild parsnip. It's in full bloom across the state of Iowa. And I was like, wow, this is serious. Now, this is for another sermon, but men, isn't that how it is? Like when our wives tell us, for those who are married, you know, it's like, that's not good enough. Like, I know what that's all about, whatever. And that's like the DNR. Oh, the DNR, right? Anyway, I'm dealing with that. But so I found out wild parsnip is a thing. And I mean, I looked it up, and some of you are Googling right now, like, wow, something to do during the sermon. Hopefully not. But wild parsnip is a thing. And here's what the DNR said you can expect if you get certain parts of that plant on you. Blisters, burns, and a rash, and sensitivity potentially that could last for 2 years on your skin. Right? Don't mess with wild parsnip. That's what I'm here to tell you. Life comes with a lot of wild parsnip moments, doesn't it? Like, here's what you can expect. The difference is this, wild parsnip is invasive. If you know anything about invasive plants, they're here and we don't want them here, and so we work to eradicate them. You can do that with wild parsnip. The fact of the matter is, the things in our lives that are challenges, they're inevitable. They're not invasive. So some things that we face in life, we can't get rid of. They are inevitable. Every day we wake up, every month of our lives, there are challenges we have to deal with. They are dumped on our lap. This challenge, you have to deal with it. Today, James is like this. He's going to talk to us about three inevitable challenges in life. And that's what he's been talking about throughout the book, hasn't he? Remember how he started? Consider it joy if perhaps you experience trials. That's not what it says. Consider it all joy whenever you face trials. It's inevitable that you will face trials. And so today in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and we're going to pick up that section we kind of took a break from, 5, 1 to 12, you're going to turn there. We're going to look at three inevitable challenges in life, and here they are. Riches, the wealth we possess, it's inevitable that we have to deal with money in life. Suffering, we will have to endure that in life. And commitments, we will make commitments in life. So how do we deal with those things? And in some ways, James is going to say to us, depending on how you deal with those things, here's what you can expect. Here's what you can expect. Three things he gives us, 5, 1 to 12. Here's one, be careful, or here's what you can expect, wealth will destroy you, okay? That's number one, be careful, or wealth can destroy you. We're going to talk about money. And James is going to say to us, if you're not careful with riches, they will destroy you. And Again, for another sermon is a sermon on wealth, and we've had those sermons. And listen, those of us in this country, specifically in this part of the world, man, we enjoy a lifestyle and we enjoy levels of comfort. We enjoy, yes, wealth beyond what most people in the world even know about. And we can do the research, you can look it up, and you can see we're rich. Now, I know comparatively, some of you are like, man, I wish I was richer. Some of you might be here and you're like, listen, God has given me wealth and I'm trying to figure out how to handle it. That's excellent. James says, here's a challenge all of us will face. What are we going to do with our stuff? If we want more of it or if we're trying to figure out a lot of it that we have? It's a challenge that's inevitable. And James says to us, be careful, or here's what you can expect. Wealth will destroy you. 5:1-6, follow along as I read. And in a minute, you'll see why we chose not to preach this on a weekend where it was like, hey, welcome back as a family. Listen to his language here. Come now, you rich people. Weep and wail over your miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have stored up treasure in the last days. Look, the pay that you withheld from the workers who mowed your field cries out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous who does not resist you. Wow. That's tough language. And here's what James is trying to awaken us to. Wealth can destroy you if you're not careful. Money is not the problem, though. Money's not the problem. And again, we've been down this road many times. Money's not the problem. If God has blessed you with riches, if you're good at making money, that's not the problem. The problem is you. The problem is me. Do you see that? It's a you problem. 17 times in verses 1 through 6, there is some form of the word you. You, your, yourselves. You. My money problem is a me problem. We've talked about that in the past as well. But James is telling us that here, that wealth, if we're not careful, here's what you can expect. It will destroy you. Notice he started verse 1 with come now. That's the same phrase that we saw in verse 13 of chapter 4. Do you see that? Same page. It should be on your Bible. Come now, 4:13. Come now, 5:1. Who's he talking to here? Well, it's likely he's talking to rich people in the church and rich people outside of the church. So remember, he's writing to people who their playing field is persecution. The original audience, this ancient audience is a group of people who are new in Christian faith, and as it's being established in their lives, they're spread out and they're dispersed from what they know. And so in this persecution, James has been giving them challenges. And so today we're reading this challenge that he gives to them and says to them, listen, here's what you can expect. Wealth will destroy you. And he's saying that to the rich person out there in general. And he's saying that to the rich person in here. Be careful. Wealth can destroy you. He gave us two dangerous indicators. How do I know if my wealth is destroying me? Two things James said in those verses, self-indulgence and injustice. Right? The first part of 1 through 6, he says, we indulge ourselves in ways that will destroy us. And then he says, injustice. We treat others with our wealth in ways that are not just. It is vivid and terrible language. I don't know what your favorite line is from that section. Here's mine. Verse 3, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. That will never make a plaque in my house. Man, vivid and terrible language. Because James wants to awaken us to the fact that we've got to deal with our wealth. It's a challenge that is inevitable in our lives. And if we're not careful, here's what you can expect. It will destroy you. Like bleach. Many of us have articles of clothing at home that tell stories of mistakes we've made with bleach, right? I used to love this shirt. Now I wipe my car down with it because there's a huge stain that I can't hide. And you like Google how to take out a bleach stain. You can't. That's the first thing that comes up, right? You didn't know what you were doing with the laundry. You thought you were helping. You weren't helping. You ruined it. The bleach isn't the problem. In fact, we live in a day where bleach is a pretty popular thing right now, isn't it? It's very effective. But it'll ruin your clothes. So James really echoes the words of Jesus. And there's a lot of echoes from in the book of James from Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Don't store up for yourselves," almost like James' language. Listen, "don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in the heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. Be careful with riches. If not, here's what you can expect. Wealth will destroy you." Ask yourself, what is wealth doing to you? What is my money doing to me? What is it doing to others? Be careful. Be faithful. James says in verses 7 through 11, be careful because if you're not, wealth can destroy you. Be faithful because here's what you can expect. Suffering. Awesome. It's inevitable. It's an inevitable challenge of life. We will suffer, James says. So be faithful because patience will refine you. 7, look at the text with me. 7, therefore, you see that? So he's kind of going back and saying, so based on the dangers of wealth, don't live in a way in which wealth can destroy you. So with that contrast in place, James tells us how to bear up when we're struggling financially, when life is really hard in a relationship, when my health is deteriorating. How do I live? Certainly not like 1 through 7 or 1 through 6. So James says, therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Listen, be careful with your money. And if not, here's what you can expect. Wealth will destroy you. Here's something you can expect. Suffering. Be faithful. Because patience will refine you. It will refine you, James says. I love the language James uses in verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, verse 12. Do you see how he addresses the church that he's writing to, the people gathered that he's writing to? He addresses them the same way he has throughout the book. What does he call them? Brothers and sisters. It's back to family. I have a daughter and a son. My son's name is Christian. His nickname is Chich. And maybe some of you can relate to this in a family. When he was born, our daughter, his sister, could not pronounce his name Christian, and she called him Chichin. And it stuck, right? And I'm sure he's thrilled about that. Like, great, 27 years old, I'm Chich or whatever, right? But some of you can relate to that, that you have a nickname that stuck. And so if Christian came here and you didn't know him and someone in the family saw him and you were with them and they said, Chich, you'd be like, Chich? And there's a story to tell there that's family. It's deep. James goes from very kind of brutal language there in 1 through 6, doesn't he? And he brings it back to the family. And he says 4 times, brothers and sisters, he knows these people. They're family. And friends, within the tone of what James is saying here, his appeal to us is this. Here's something you can expect. It's an inevitable challenge of life. You're going to suffer. But be faithful. Be patient because patience will refine you.
I love how he works backwards in this text. Let's do that, okay? So let's go backwards from verse 11 to verse 7, because I think he gives us several things to help us be patient in suffering. First of all, he gives us a perspective from the past. You see that in verse 10? He says, what does he say in verse 10? Take the prophets. And then he goes to Job and Job's endurance, which is legendary, right? The endurance of the prophets, the endurance of Job in suffering. And again, here he echoes the words of Jesus. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, do not judge so that you won't be judged. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Friends, listen, some of us here today, we're suffering. Here's what you need to do. You need to go home and you need to open your Bible. You need to open your Bible and you need to go to the past and you need to look at how God sustained people. Hebrews tells us about a great cloud of witnesses. That is those who have gone before us. And for some of us, maybe it's not going to the Bible. Maybe it's going to a parent who has just been so faithful and has been such an example to you, or that friend you work with who has stood up under suffering and is patiently enduring and is faithful, and they are such a witness to you. James says to his audience here, listen, here's something you can expect, suffering. But be patient because it will refine you. Remember the prophets. Brothers and sisters, if you're suffering, when was the last time you opened your Bible and dug into the treasure trove of narratives about how God sustained people in his word? And that person can in some ways be the representative to you to say, God, if you did it then, you can do it for me. You can sustain me. So James has an argument from the past. He says, go back, look what God did for Job. Look what God did for the prophets. It's patience in the past demonstrated. He also gives us patience lived in the present, right? So he talked about the past, the present. So we're going backwards in the text. Look at 9. Brothers and sisters, don't complain about one another so that you won't be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door, again, echoing the words of Jesus, who said in Matthew 7, do not judge so that you won't be judged. Here's the thing. When we suffer, we lose patience with each other. How many have been on a road trip with your family and it was just too long, right? Oh, these kids are, I can't wait to get out of this car. Nothing will test your patience as a family, right? Then when you're under the pressure cooker of some situation that maybe you can't control. And so James says, listen, brothers and sisters, in the suffering of the present, don't complain about each other. Be patient. And listen, if that kind of thing happens in our natural families, I guarantee you it happens in our spiritual family, right? You ever been crossways with somebody at church? I sure have. It happens so easily, doesn't it? When we're going through something that's difficult and we're not handling it the right way and we're not patient and we don't want to be refined. James says, listen, patience for the present means don't fight with each other. He gives us a challenge of patience lived in the present. He says, be faithful. Patience will refine you. Don't lose patience with each other, brothers and sisters. And finally, go back to the beginning of the text. He gives us patience because we can be confident in the future. Look at 7. It's so interesting. 7. Therefore, brothers and sisters, notice, this is interesting. Be patient until the Lord's coming. See that? See, and then he goes to an illustration. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and it's patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. James says, listen, here's what we have to look forward to, the coming of the Lord. And so be patient until. But then he also says, notice in the second part of the verse, be patient not until, be patient with. So while I'm waiting, I'm living in patience. And the field of my life is being tilled and being cultivated with patience. With the hope that someday the rains will come. Jesus, you're going to deliver me. But I don't forget the work I have to do today in patience. I am waiting until Jesus comes. That's the future hope, and so I'm patient. But I am also waiting with, I am nurturing those relationships. I am cultivating the thing that might make me impatient. And I am enduring, I am faithful. Just one thought there, as a pastor, if you came to me this week and said, Matt, I got to tell you this issue in my life, it's hard to be patient, I'm struggling, you lay it out, and I look at you, and in all of my pastoral wisdom, I say, someday Jesus will come back and you'll be all right. That would be really poor. However, listen to me. There are some of us here, and that's exactly what you need to hear. Because this side of Jesus returning, there's nothing that's going to necessarily fix what you're facing. And sometimes, hear the heart of James. There is nothing more beautiful to say to someone than this. Jesus is going to make this right someday. He's going to come back. And so wait until he does. And for some of us here, and maybe the older you get, the more you realize this, that is a very wonderful thing to hear. It's a truth that James gives us looking forward. He says, wait until the Lord comes back. But that waiting is waiting with, and I'm nurturing, and I'm cultivating the thing that God has called me to be patient in. James says, here's what you can expect. Suffering, patience will refine you. He says, strengthen your heart. See that? I need that. Strengthen your hearts, James writes. Be faithful. Be truthful is the last thing. Be truthful. James says to us, be careful, because here's what you can expect if you're not. Wealth will destroy you. It will destroy you. Be faithful. Here's what you can expect. Suffering. But patience will refine you. Finally, he says, be truthful. In the commitments that you make, honesty will protect you. 12. Above all, that's interesting. Above all, he's written a lot of stuff. He says, above all, it's important. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. Again, an echo of the words of Jesus. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus said almost the exact same thing, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Listen, in Jesus' time, when he said that, he was dealing with the Pharisees, right? And the Pharisees had this complicated way of creating oaths. Maybe the best thing we could say is like when you cross your finger behind your back, right? I mean, it's ridiculous, but what's in that? What's in that is, well, there's a little dishonesty. I can kind of get out of it. I crossed my fingers. And so the Pharisees had this way of manipulating truth and manipulating oaths they made, and they would say, well, I said it in this way, and so really I can get out of that when my fingers are crossed behind my back. Jesus says, down with that. And James says, yeah, Jesus is right. Down with that. James says, be truthful, because in the commitments you make, your honesty will protect you. Listen, this is not some summary rejection of an oath that we would take officially. It's not that. Rather, James is saying, God forbid that our speech would manipulate or exaggerate. James says, speak directly. Speak honestly. Be truthful. Commitments, in the commitments you make, honesty will protect you. Loose lips sink ships. It's from World War II, right? And it was cast upon someone who might open their mouth when they shouldn't, and so we use that today. He's a smooth talker. He's a sweet talker. How many are like, oh, I'd love to date him? Why do we say that? Because what that person says tells us what's inside. That's why James says, above all. Because he's saying to us, listen, what I hear coming out of you tells me what's inside of you. He said that throughout the book as he dealt with the tongue, as he dealt with motives of the heart, displayed in actions of the life. James is saying, what you say tells me what's inside. There's a song with these lyrics, I can tell you're lying because your lips are moving. God forbid we would be those kind of people. James says, in the commitments you make, be truthful, because here's what you can expect. Honesty, it will protect you. One writer says, guard your thoughts and there will be little to fear about your actions. Guard your thoughts, there will be little to fear about your actions. Well, I have good news. The invasive wild parsnip in my ditch is dying. It's dying. It's safe to go back in the ditch. the inevitable challenges of my life are not. So when it comes to money, be careful. If not, you can expect your wealth to destroy you. Here's something you can expect: suffering. Be faithful, because patience will refine you. When it comes to the commitments you make, be truthful, and you can expect that honesty will protect you. Keystone friends, here at home, as we wrestle with these challenges and what we can expect, there's one more sobering undertone to draw your attention to, and that is this. Each of these challenges comes with the warning of judgment. Did you see that? In verses 1 through 6, James says this: there are miseries that are coming on you if your wealth destroys you. In verses 9 and 12, as he talks about suffering and honesty, he says, act this way so that you will not be what? Judged. We should fear that judgment. I wonder what's destroying you today. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. Maybe it's money. Maybe the Spirit of God used the Word of God to put a finger right on your heart today and say, my money is destroying me. It's all I think about. Either I want more of it, or I have a lot of it and I want more of it. I don't know. I just know that for whatever reason, God led us to this text today, and James is very deliberate. Maybe your wealth is destroying you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's a relationship you're in. Maybe it's some affliction you're facing, and it's destroying you. What can you expect? Well, I love what James says at the end of the text in verse 11. He says, the Lord is what? Compassionate and merciful. So if you're here and there's something destroying you, what can you expect? You can expect this: the Lord is compassionate and he's merciful. The Bible says he's patient with you. He doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So whatever that thing is that's destroying you, who do you need to talk to at Keystone? Who do you need to reach out to? Maybe today you need to cry out to God and say, God, I don't want my life to be destroyed by that. I want to know Jesus, who is merciful and compassionate. That's what you can expect from God. Maybe you're here and you say, man, suffering has left me impatient and unfaithful. Maybe you're sitting beside your spouse or a roommate or a friend and you say, because of what I'm going through, I've been miserable to be around. All I've done is complain. What can you expect? You can expect that the Lord is merciful and he's compassionate. And today he says, come back to him, brother or sister. Repent, confess, get right. He's full of mercy. He's full of compassion. Maybe you're here and the way you talk tells me some terrible things about your heart. And you're struck and convicted by the way your speech comes out, and you're anything but truthful. What can you expect? You can expect this: the Lord is compassionate and he's merciful. And he says to you, come to him in repentance and he will forgive. And you can be restored. Friend, what is it in your life today? What is that thing where you say, what I need is a God who is merciful and compassionate, because that's what you can expect? As we prepare our hearts for communion, allow the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to open your heart to where that change needs to take place. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth of your Word and the power that James has given us in which to live here. Lord, I pray for any that are on the side of a destroyed life because of something that controls them, that God, that you would break through by the power of your Word. As brothers and sisters here, as children of you, God, we want to live together patiently, lovingly. Help us to do that. Help us to be honest people. We thank you that this is what we can expect. We can expect a compassionate and merciful God. Amen.